now, say now. You're tuned into the Wake Up and Win podcast, and I am your host, Devon Pouncey. We are here at the Momentum Studios, myself, Spencer Shea.
Yes, sir.
What's happening?
Hey, shout out to Zeb in the Momentum Studios. Feeling good, feeling great. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain, man. I can't call it. Just ready for a loaded weekend. So let's jump right into win shares. Starting Thursday night, I will be at Mermosa from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. It's wine night. You can wine, you can dine, and you can feel just fine. My guy Spencer will be there with me. We'll be doing a little bit of a test trial for an event that we have coming up on Saturday that we'll get to shortly, but we must stay in chronological order here. But we'll be there, Mermosa, kicking it, vibing, doing what we do. Friday
I'm bringing
night,
the rig, by the way. I'm bringing the electric and the amp, and I'm going to rip.
Okay.
I'm going to try to get something off.
We're going to see how it goes. Friday night, we got a double header. It will be Star Pizza. I had to gather my thoughts there real quick. Star Pizza at 6 p.m. from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pull up. They got TVs there. They have phenomenal food. I'll be playing great music. I'll have them have the NCAA Women's Final Four games rocking on the TV in there. It's during that time period. Pull up. Come watch the game. Come vibe out and come listen to me play some good tunes while we watch some phenomenal basketball. And, of course, we'll be talking all things women's basketball here today. And then after that, I will be headed over to Lulu. Big R&B vibes. Hello. Yes, sir. We'll be there at 10 p.m. getting it rocking and rolling. So it'll be a good Friday night. Please come through. Again, come watch the games with your boy while I spin some tunes. And then also, you know, if you're feeling groovy on a late night, I got the vibes taken care of for you there at Lulu Bar. And then Saturday, Spencer and I will be doing a set together. We'll be doing a dual set, if you will, and it'll be called The Intermission. It'll be our first time doing this thing. We will be at Fools and Horses in the Pearl District from 9 p.m. until close, about 1 a.m., and I'll be DJing, and then I'll have a bit of an intermission, and our guy Spencer is coming back on the performance scene.
Right.
He will have the electric guitar. He will have the rig, and I hope he drinks plenty of tea and honey coming into the weekend,
man.
Because
the
he will
is gonna
be
happen.
Serenading the crowd with his vocals as well.
That's the
and
big
so
thing.
We'll vibe out. It's going to be big. It's going to be major.
Can I talk about it for
a second? Talk about it. How you feeling?
No, I feel really good, by the way, because just everything has been going good. I've been outside. It's been a really nice week, as you know, out here.
For sure.
So I've been outside. I've been enjoying the company of many great people and playing a lot of tunes. And so I really feel good about this because it's going to be like a 30 minute. So at Mermosa, it'll be like I'm going to play a song or two twice, maybe three times, depending on how it goes, but probably not. And then we're just going to dry run. Because last weekend we did this.
Yes.
At Mermosa, at last Thursday.
Yes.
So pull up this Thursday to see me get down. And I thought it was pretty well received. But
it was.
I'm going to bring the electric out this time.
Okay.
And I'm going to play some tunes and try to rip a little bit. Like I said, I'm going to try to get my issue a little bit.
Yes,
because
that time.
Because the intermission show is basically going to be Devon, Fools and Horses on the ones and twos. You know how it's going to go down that way.
Absolutely.
And then we're going to take a break and I was thinking about it today. It's going to be like an 11, maybe to 11:30, sort of 25, max 30-minute thing where we're playing tunes, we're singing, we're getting down. I'm going to try to get this guy to grab the microphone and sing a song.
Well, I might be outside.
He might be outside.
It's an intermission. I get a break.
Yeah, he does.
I usually don't get
that.
Those.
No, because back in the day, what we used to do at like places like Soleil's is I'd play 3 45-minute sets.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, bro, post up the DJ equipment right next to the stage.
For sure.
And then once that hits, I'll get my little 20 and I'd be in the back parlaying, hanging out, getting my shit together. And so that's what we're going to try to do at Fools and Horses.
No, it'll be a vibe.
It's
going to
be
sure.
great. It's going to
be
really
a vibe.
Fun, man.
Fools and Horses is a really dope bar. Rated the number one bar in state of Oregon. Oh. Really cool bar, really good drinks, really good food, really great vibes. And you know, we got us a stage situation up front, so you'll really be able to check us out and tune in to us really perform and get down a nice intimate spot. So make sure y'all pull up, man. It'll be good vibes. All right, so now, time to get into some content. Of course, I got Spencer Shea here with me. But also, we got a guest joining us on the line. He is none other than my guy. We've had him here before. He's a friend of the show. We got him back again because it's big things going on the women's basketball front, and we're about to dig in. Cam Jones, ladies and gentlemen. Cam, what's popping, man?
What's popping, Devon? What's going on, man?
Oh, man, glad to have you here. It is a great time of the year for the sport of basketball at large. Obviously, we got March Madness humming into the Final Four weekend this weekend on both the women's and men's side. We got the NBA playoffs on the horizon here. Heck, we got NBA G League playoffs going on right now. Who would I not to be, to mention that, being a G League analyst myself. But women's basketball, man, what a time.
What a time, man. It's gaining popularity, and there's great players, and people are excited, and it's an awesome time of the year.
Well, for those that don't know or may not have heard you when you were on the podcast, I think probably around this time last year, Cam Jones, because it was around the draft, I believe, when we had you on last, when your sister got drafted. So there you go, giving it away there. Cam Jones is the brother of Haley Jones, standout player at Stanford University, now playing in the WNBA for the Atlanta Dream. You can also catch her out at Athletes Unlimited as well. She got to play in that this season. But Cam, I like bringing you on to talk women's basketball because you have been in an interesting spot over the course of your life because your sister has been a phenomenal basketball player for all of her life. Your sister was the number one high school basketball player in the class of 2019 in high school. She goes to Stanford. She wins them their first national championship in damn near 30 years. Then she gets drafted first round, sixth pick for the Atlanta Dream. So you've been around so many things. She's played for Team USA. A lot of these names that are being discussed right now in the women's basketball circuit, your sister's name has been all in the mix of that throughout her career as well, obviously, rightfully so. But I'm bringing you on because, as I mentioned, your sister in the class of 2019 was the number one player in high school. The following year, in the class of 2020, I believe Paige Beckers was number one, correct?
That is correct.
Paige Beckers was number one. Right behind Paige Beckers, though, was none other than Caitlin Clark. Am I correct there?
I believe the top four was Paige, Caitlin, Angel, and Cameron Brink, and the number five was Camila Cardoso. And probably all five are going to be
the WNBA
draft this year.
Sure. Yeah. Whoever did that, those are the five best. Those are five of the best players in college basketball today.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So dynamite information for the folks to have. But obviously, as we head into the Final Four this weekend, I want to talk about Paige and Caitlin in particular because everybody was all dialed in. You had over 12 million, nearly 13 million viewers for this LSU and Iowa game. This thing has essentially been deemed as a rivalry, which is what has everybody all in on women's basketball now. And now I hope everybody gets to actually enjoy the product for what it's actually worth because it's great. It's been great, and it's only getting better. But I want us to kind of slide into Final Four weekend because I feel like when you think about these players that have been named that were a part of a high school class in 2020, I'm sure there was competition back then. We just didn't know these characters yet because we didn't have the breakthrough from the NCAA tournament, the NCAA Final Four weekend last season when everything just kind of erupted. I want to talk about Paige and Caitlin in particular. Paige is from Minnesota. Caitlin's from Iowa. What's the, I don't want to say rivalry as in, you know, from like a disrespectful standpoint or as if they don't like each other. But again, as competitors, like I'm sure these two names have been going at it and probably have played together as well, far beyond us entering in the Final Four weekend coming up.
Oh, for sure. I mean, they're the two top players, two top guards in the 2020 class. So those two have had, you know, are always compared to each other all the time from, when with USA Basketball to the AAU circuit and then now in college. I mean, they've kind of led the way and they've been the two faces when it comes to a guard standpoint in the 2020 high school class. And now 4 years later, they've been two of the biggest names in women's college basketball, especially back in 2021 when Paige was a freshman and Caitlin was a freshman. They both put amazing numbers, and Paige ended up winning Freshman of the Year and National Player of the Year. So they've always been in competition within each other, and obviously Minnesota and Iowa are the states that border each other. So it's always been, you know, they've always been compared to each other, and it's kind of, it brings great competition to the game.
I mean, does that rivalry bring eyes though? Like,
well, that's what we're here to do.
right. Well, that's my question. Like, you know, you have a sister who experienced that, being the number one player in the country when she was in high school. And so, you know, is this something that you've like seen before? You know what I mean? Like that there's rivalries, and that, because let me phrase it like this. I was asked today, is it that there are more stars in the NCAA, or like young women, phenomenal talent, or that now we're just having the eyes on it? What came first, the chicken or the egg? Because like we've mentioned, these have been highly competitive, you know, superstars in their classes as they've gone along since long before we had eyes on. 12.3 million views on the, so from your experience, is this like something you've already seen before, like when you were coming up with Haley?
Well, I always knew like women's basketball had so much talent, but I think one thing was it wasn't really on TV a ton, right? Like now, I think it's more accessible than ever before because of the TV contracts, and more big companies are putting it on national TV. So I think now there's more exposure. So now you can see these players more, in my opinion. Because, you know, when Haley was younger, you know, you got to see the Asia Wilsons and the Kelsey Plums, and you got to see their records, and you're like, man, these are incredible. But it was so hard to get those games because they're so not accessible. But now you got ESPN Plus and FS1's doing more games, and Fox, NBC, ESPN. I think it's just more accessible because the talent's always been there. I just think now it's more accessible, and more people are just like, wow, this product's fantastic, and these players are really good. And also now I think you get to see there's more storylines more than ever now, so you can actually learn what these players are all about instead of just, you know, all just the on-court stuff. There's a real storyline to these players, and I think it's important that journalists and people in the media tell these players' stories.
I'm curious, as we enter into this game, what does that matchup mean to you, knowing the depths of the history, knowing, you know, what it is that you know? And as we all kind of come into this, of course, you know, we can discuss, you know, Caitlin being the best player in the game right now. We can discuss what Paige was prior to some of the injuries that she dealt with, freshman of the year, national player of the year. But for the game of women's basketball, these two being able to match up at this moment in time in the Final Four, what is kind of your takeaway from that?
Well, my main takeaway is that more people are watching it more than ever before, and brings more eyeballs. And I think it's just a special opportunity for people to really watch women's basketball, because it's just such a great game that we've all known for a long time. And their players are really talented. And also, you can't forget about South Carolina, NC State. I mean, South Carolina is like 20. I've only lost one game in 2 years.
Yeah,
right.
They've only lost 3 games in 3 years. So
yeah, they feel like they're on a redemption tour. Like they're trying to cut throats.
Right, and then NC State's had a fantastic season as well. I mean, I just think for this weekend, we get to see four high level teams that have earned, that have had different ways to get to this point. NC State was unranked to start the season, and they were kind of an unknown. They lost some seniors, lost some girls in the portal, and then you get to see girls really blossom into their new roles and kind of find themselves and get to a Final Four for the first time in 25 years. And then South Carolina going undefeated. Paige Becker is coming back from two serious knee injuries, make a statement for herself. And obviously Caitlin Clark, what she's been able to do, bring new fans to the game. I mean, her long-range shooting, her passing. I think her passing is the best.
Yeah, she's a playmaker.
I mean, and also I think in Iowa, they play that fast up and down system. And you can just tell with their press conference, they play that way. And then LSU was really struggling on the Monday night, because after a make, LSU was kind of jogging back on defense, but they get that ball out. Caitlin's throwing a full pass, and you got to be able to run with them. So
yeah.
I think their passing is the most underrated part of her game. But each team has something unique to them that makes it so fun and so intriguing, and the storylines and the plays just, I just think it's going to be a fantastic weekend for basketball, not just women's basketball.
For sure, man. We talked about this last week, really on both sides of the aisle, but especially on the women's side. I really, truly think the NCAA got it right this year, because coming into it, our general thought would be, let's try to figure out a situation where we can get Iowa to play against LSU in the Final Four, at least, because last year they met up in the national championship. But
didn't really need that.
We kind of got a tweak where, Iowa and LSU would have to meet up in the Elite Eight round. That caught a lot of people by surprise. But in the end, when you look at it, I do believe the four teams that belonged in the Final Four this year from a pure basketball standpoint are the four teams that are still standing right now. And I give the NCAA and the selection committee a lot of credit for that, in the way that they bracketed these regions and set things up, because I think we got what we're supposed to have coming into this weekend.
I absolutely agree. I mean, everybody, I think all four of these teams that earned their right, and they've had great seasons to get to this point. And I mean, we had a fantastic Elite Eight. These league eight games were so good. And now we're just headed to a great Final Four weekend. So it's, I think we're spoiled as basketball fans.
Yo, for sure. And I feel like what you said about narrative was spot on too, because it goes beyond just the matchups that we're seeing in the Elite Eight and the Final Four. Like, there are freshmen on deck that are superstars already, that we're going to be able to stay glued to from, you know, a viewership standpoint and keep watching. I think 12.3 million for that game, which I think the only college game that got more views in the college football game that got more views than that was like Ohio State, Michigan. So it's like, this is major numbers. And so I'm thinking, watch the stars coming up, because I really feel like Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and Paige Beckers and them, that's just the beginning of the stardom that we're going to see. When you see like Juju Watkins and Hannah Hidalgo and Malaysia Fawiley all coming up, like that narrative, I think, is going to be even more important, where you're like, all right, let's start telling these stories and building them up from the ground up. Because you, Cam, you've had a perspective like the other people haven't, where you got to see it from the ground up.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's just so many talented freshmen this year. I mean, you just pointed to Juju Watkins, Malaysia Fawiley, Hannah Hidalgo. I mean, shoot, Madison Booker was a freshman at Texas, and she had to step into a point guard role as a wing as a freshman, and she was Big 12 Player of the Year and freshman year, and took him to Elite Eight.
Say that. Say that. Yeah, shout out Rekia Jackson, bro. That's my dog right there. That's my favorite player.
Yeah, so Madison Booker had a great run.
Great team.
Rekia Jackson is going to declare for the WNBA draft, so I'm excited to see where she goes. But yeah, I mean, there's just so many freshmen, and we can't forget Audie Crooks at Iowa State. Did she drop 40 points and set on a 90% shooting in her first round? No, that was 2 weeks ago, but that's an NCAA record. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's crazy. 40
points on 90% shooting. So I think this class is really talented, this freshman class, but it's only going to get better. I mean, you got a great. Right. A lot of these girls have the COVID year to use, so sure. People that are not declaring for the draft are going to come back. So, I mean, next year is even going to be more exciting. And then I just think it's going to be important for the viewer who's tuning into women's basketball, continue to watch these girls into the WNBA, because you get to see a whole other journey from seeing them play that gets the best players in the world, especially with the draft in 2 weeks, and the season's going to be starting in May, and it's going to be exciting to see these girls continue their journeys.
I'm curious, Cam, because I feel like both Clark and Beckers have some chips on their shoulders coming into this week, aside from just the fact that they get a chance to play and compete in the Final Four and ultimately try to win a national championship by Sunday. But Paige, again, was considered by sort of the general consensus as the best player in the country her freshman season. You know, she won Freshman of the Year. She won National Player of the Year. And again, she starts dealing with some injuries. And then Caitlin just comes onto the scene and just takes over, rightfully and respectfully so, because she's clearly like that. And so I think Paige kind of has a chip on her shoulder coming into this scenario to be able to kind of get some of that acclaim back that she once had that kind of might have went away because, you know, she just wasn't available to be able to go out there and show it year in and year out due to some injuries. Now, on Caitlin's side, there's a lot of reports that are coming out about the fact that Caitlin absolutely adores the UConn, grew up adoring the UConn basketball program, and that's really where she wanted to go, but she never really received an offer. And for her, what a way to be able to end arguably the greatest individual college basketball career than to have to face off against UConn in the Final Four of your last season of your college career and try to, you know, get over that hump, essentially, and get to a national championship game on Sunday.
Man, I mean, like you said, the storylines are amazing, and there's so many ways to go with this, you know, with Paige and Caitlin as those two players. But I think the big thing about this whole journey, I think, is just, you know, those are the two top players in the country when it comes to guards. So, like, and it's just amazing that they're both in this position to lead their respective teams. Cause I think it's worked out for both Paige and Caitlin to get to where they are, you know? So I think it's just, you know, it's going to be a fantastic game, and both teams got there in different ways. I mean, Iowa kind of didn't really go into the transfer portal and kind of kept a crew and kind of build up their bench and build up the players on their roster. And look at UConn. I mean, they only have seven or eight available players for the game this weekend. They have I want you guys to just make sure on Friday you look at their bench and you're like, man, that is five WNBA draft picks just sitting on that bench.
Yeah.
So much talent on that bench. I mean, AZ Fudd, Caroline Duchon, and then Ayanna Patterson, and a couple other, they're freshmen, are really talented, but they're not able to play. So you got to think, like, what Paige has been able to do coming back from a knee injury and get them to a Final Four with 7-8 players. And you've seen them on Monday night.
She's got a really good two-person thing going on with Aaliyah Edwards. I mean, but that's beside the point.
No, it ain't.
For what you're saying.
I
got to throw a wrench in this because you're pumping up the Paige and the Caitlin Clark rivalry, and I hear what you're saying. But my thing is that have we not forgotten about South Carolina getting bounced by Caitlin Clark? I mean,
happens this weekend.
And I want to talk about narrative for a second. I'm going to ask you this too, Cam. Between the two, what makes more compelling of a narrative? Is it Paige going back, getting her redemption through South Carolina, or is it Caitlin Clark going in and I mean, I guess proving that, you know what I'm saying, if you can't, it doesn't count if you can't do it twice question. Type of deal?
I'm going to let you answer first, Cam.
That's a tough question. I mean, I think regardless, but you can't forget South Carolina has to get past NC State first. So, I mean, it's not going to be
a fair point.
For sure.
Carolina. So, I think either storyline would be, you know, Caitlin, I mean.
You got to pick a side, Cam. Come on, man. You got to pick a side, bro. Come on, Doug.
I think for South Carolina, they want redemption from last year. So, I mean, either way, I mean, you can't complain. I mean, UConn, Iowa against South Carolina, NC State. I think either way. I mean, the game's got to be played for a reason, right? Like,
I'll pick a side. I think it's UConn and Iowa. I think that's bigger than the redemption from South Carolina for multiple reasons. I don't think, I do think that there's a motivation for South Carolina in particular coming into this game. I do still think the general consensus around South Carolina, though, is that they are the best team in the country.
For sure.
Where I think when you consider Paige in particular, that used to be the consensus. It is no longer that. And so,
while she was on the team, it needs to be said.
Right. It's no longer that, but she is still the elite of the elites out there, and she kind of gets this opportunity to sort of get that acclaim. I do think, you know, South Carolina could feel like they let a championship slip through their hands. South Carolina also lost a lot of those players that was on that team as well, especially like their best player, which was Aaliyah Boston in particular. But I think, you know, now, but because Dawn Staley is who she is, she brings in a phenomenal recruiting class along with some of the players that did stick around. And what do you know? Here they are, undefeated again. But I think as far as like from a marketing standpoint, I would have to say Paige versus Caitlyn is more marketable, Cam, but I think you do have still a compelling storyline if Iowa ends up playing South Carolina.
Cam, I got to ask you a question real quick. What's South Carolina's record right now of the last two seasons?
I believe they've only lost one game, so I think they're 73-1.
Who did they lose that game to?
To Iowa.
They lost to Iowa.
I rest my case.
They have reason to be motivated, for sure. But what I'm saying is,
I think that's the more compelling story to see.
Masses. We're talking to the masses. We're not talking to, I know you, me, Cam, we're all into this thing from a purist standpoint when it comes to women's basketball. But I think to the masses are more, especially a lot of these newcomers, I think they're more interested in Caitlyn versus Paige.
Hey, I just had to bring it up. Because of the reasons
I laid. No, I think it's a great question. It was a tough one, but I like I said, the side that I'm picking more, so I think the more marketable game is still Caitlyn versus Paige, because you know you have literally, legitimately, basketball is still a sport of stars. And say what you will, there is no two bigger stars in women's college basketball, with the exception of Angel Reese for obvious reasons on and off the floor. The next person you would probably put in that conversation would be Paige Beckers. And so, it's time for Malaysia Fulwiley to put her name in that hat. You know what I'm saying? But I think from a star power standpoint, it's Caitlyn, it's Angel, it's Paige. And you got two of those three that get to face off in a Final Four matchup. And so I still think, like, that's to the masses, which is who we're trying to bring along here. And especially because we don't know if Iowa's going to beat UConn and play against South Carolina on Sunday. We don't know if South Carolina beats NC State and that matchup ends up happening on Sunday. Maybe that's what many people hope for, but because we already know we got the two of the three biggest stars in the game right now facing off in the Final Four, I still think that's more
compelling. Do either of you guys have an official prediction of the championship matchup?
Well, I picked South Carolina before the tournament, so I'm rolling with South Carolina.
Me too.
Likewise, but who wins UConn? Iowa. Right.
That's really a toss-up for me. I've been going back and forth with it, but
I have too. I'm going with UConn.
I'm going Iowa.
I'm going UConn, baby. I'm going UConn. UConn took care of me on Monday. I attended the UConn versus biased. USC game on Monday.
This is as recency bias as it comes, Cam. This guy was at the game.
Because I don't know what else to lean on, because it's so tough of an answer. But I will say, you know, I was really impressed by UConn and Gino Auriemma. Of course, you got to acknowledge him as well, because I just watched them beat. And this is one thing, just as a basketball player, I know can be a tough thing to do. I just watched them beat and just show that they were flat out better than a team that was more, you know, athletically superior than them.
They give them credit for, too.
You know what I'm saying? Like USC, I was there, and I was sitting in the UConn team section. I had great seats, and it was clear as day that USC had more length and they had more athleticism than UConn. But UConn was just so savvy. And the way that, and because there's not a situation that UConn has never seen before, because it's UConn, the most storied college basketball program,
the best college basketball program of all time.
It was like, to see that firsthand was very impressive to me. And, you know, I think it's been kind of a lot of public criticism on Kim Mulkey and her game plan in guarding Caitlin Clark that I think, you know, the general masses don't particularly agree with. You're not going to get that same game plan from Gino Auriemma this week. So I still think that UConn is going to figure out a way to get it done. And I think UConn has two of the three best players on the floor. Obviously, you got Caitlin, but right there, you got Paige. I think they kind of cancel each other out. Aaliyah Edwards is next in line.
All right, Cam, here's my argument. What's the one team that South Carolina lost to in the past two seasons? What was the star player's name? Caitlin Clark? I rest my case.
They lost to Iowa in the last year's Final Four.
I rest my case.
These are two different teams now.
What did we just talk about prior to that? Paige was not there. What are we talking about? Right, what case right. is there to rest if Paige was not available because she was out with injury?
Hey, man.
Prior to that, it was Paige's world.
I've seen enough.
I haven't because Paige wasn't there.
She's a killer.
What happened in the last round of four? Paige was out with an ACL injury, and now look,
you know what?
She comes back, and what she's do you know? In the snap of a finger, she's in the final four again. Paige wasn't there.
If Paige sees Caitlin Clark standing in front of her at 30 feet, it's chicken barbecue chicken time. All right, that's all I'm saying.
I bet you more likely to see Paige guard Caitlin than you will see Caitlin guard Paige.
Yeah, that's
because that's barbecue chicken point. Time as well on the other side.
Fair point.
And I just watched Paige be willing to pick up Juju Watkins time and time again.
Caitlin Clark.
I don't think Caitlin got that in her.
We'll see. Caitlin Clark looks like she's carved out of wood. But I digress. Cam, what's your official prediction, though? Who wins? You got to make one. Put one on wax for us, big dog. Come on, man.
That's how I look at it. Like, Iowa-LSU last game, right? I think there was a lack of adjustments in everybody's opinion. I think there was when it came to the matchups, right? Because Caitlin's really good. I mean, it's mostly threes and layups, right? And I think they just didn't really change any matchups because Kim was kind of like, Kim Mulkey's like last year, like, hey, we kind of just let her do her thing and we just won. But last year, LSU made a lot of shots.
Yeah.
They couldn't really generate offense.
Morris went crazy. LSU Ice Spice hit hella threes like never before. They took off offensively in that game.
Right. And now this, I don't think they made any adjustments. They're just like, let her play. And then, I mean, Van Lith, she was competing hard and trying to make it difficult for her. But I just think when you don't change things up for that good of a player,
right?
You know, it makes it too easy for her.
You got to throw bodies at her. And,
yeah.
Right. Because they're gapping every ball screen. They weren't making any adjustments on ball screen. Sometimes you got a blitzer. Sometimes you got a blitzer.
Right.
You got to keep her on one side. And I think LSU's lack of adjustments kind of killed them. So, but Gino, I think from the last game.
Come on, man. It's Gino.
UConn just played USC. They were able to change it up against Juju, right? Because I thought coming in, all right, USC got some size. They'll be able to get some rebounds. They're going to be able to dominate the class because Davis and Marshall, great rebounders. And they got a little more size than UConn. But I think with Gino, he was making adjustments, making it difficult for Juju. Like, you know, they're switching a lot because they could put multiple girls on Juju.
Yeah, they were rushing her.
At the time. They can't just put one girl on her like LSU did. So I know Gino's probably got something up his sleeve because I think multiple girls.
It's going to be nice.
For sure. Sure.
I'm gonna lean UConn.
Hey,
that's what I'm talking about, Cam.
Lean either way.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right,
this
I'll
is
be
Gino.
On the island today.
He's
Archipelago.
Telling me about last year's Final Four. Like Gino didn't have his best.
I didn't
player.
Say anything about
like
UConn
Gino, like
versus
Gino
Iowa. By the way, in that argument, I did say nothing about not a nair, not a one thing about UConn. I said nothing about UConn.
That's the problem. Is that you didn't say nothing.
Well, you know what? You know who wasn't there? You know what? You know who wasn't there? UConn.
This is the same guy, Cam, who been all year long beating on the drum. He been beating on this drum all year long. Well, you know, man, I think Juju Watkins is the best player in the country. Juju Watkins is Cam. The greatest thing that ever happened to women's basketball. What happened to Juju Watkins on Monday? And I love Juju.
She broke
but
down.
What happened?
She broke down.
So
she
you think UConn can't do it
listen,
to Caitlin?
Listen.
And you've been on the Juju train all year long? What are you doing? Jumping ship?
What's the sound that train make?
Jumping ship? You just watch UConn do it to the greatest gift of
since
the world.
Miller.
I mean, damn. now you losing faith in UConn all of a sudden?
You know what, Cam? I'm gonna plead the fifth on that one. I don't know how you became judge and jury.
I'm gonna have to agree with Yvonne because I think Caitlin and Paige is clearly the two best players on the floor. I think they'll kind of even each other out, but I think Edwards is the third best player, and we'll give it to UConn.
Okay, but you know what, though? Hold on, though. You know what, Devon? I just want – this is a caveat. You told me like a week ago that you know – you said, you know who else thought was going to hit the Final Four like you did, Spliff? Cam Jones said he thought Juju and USC might get there. So we,
I picked UConn. I've been rolling UConn all the way.
Is it true?
On this very podcast. It's well on wax.
Did you say that Juju was going to get to the Final Four
like
I did?
Because
no,
because I said
Cam.
Oh, Cam. Okay, not me.
Well, I mean, I got a lot of love for the Pac-12, so I won the Pac-12.
These guys are.
And you know,
his sister's from Stanford. Hey, girl. Hey, bro,
how many Pac-12 teams are the Final Four, man?
My Portland 3 bracket, I had my whole bracket perfect except UConn being USC in the Elite Eight.
That's really that's gotta impressive.
That's got to be like top 1 percentile.
That's really impressive. That's really impressive. But I had UConn going to the Final Four. I knew.
No, I had to go with USC there.
Juju's time is coming. You know what I'm saying? Like
When that portal hit, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, Juju's time is coming, man. I'm not worried about Juju. Juju's my favorite player out of anybody we just named. But Juju's time is coming, man. But you got to deal with Geno and Paige and them over there. And, of course, Aaliyah Edwards, who I'm willing as far as to go as to say she's the best post player in the country. And mind you, where Iowa struggled the other day was Angel Reese played well. She had a good game. Iowa didn't particularly have an answer for that. The problem is threes are worth more than twos, and Caitlin Clark absolutely erupted, hitting 9 threes or something to that extent.
She did.
Damn near 10 threes in that ball game. But I don't think Iowa's going to have an answer for Aaliyah Edwards as well. But the difference between Angel and Aaliyah is Aaliyah's got a player who can match Caitlin Clark from a point standpoint and kind of cancel that out, and Paige Becker's by her side. So with that, shit, I'm rolling with that. I think that's how we're going to see this thing play out. I think UConn figures it out and gets to the chip. And I want to see the narrative shake up. We've been talking narratives and storylines all episode, and I want to see the narrative shake up where the world's got to put some of that, give some of that acclaim back to Paige Beckers, because I think Paige really is like that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's going to be a great game. And, Aaliyah Edwards has been playing at a high level all season long. And she's the player for the WNBA draft. And she's going to be a high draft pick coming up, and not this coming Monday, but the following Monday. So, I mean, we can't complain. I think we're going to have a great game, great Friday night with this doubleheader.
What did you think about Angel Reese declaring for the WNBA draft today, Cam?
Man, it's really exciting. I mean, it's every women's basketball player's dream is to get to the WNBA, and it's beyond exciting. And you got to do what's best for you.
Yeah.
Everybody's journey's different, right?
So, for sure.
I mean, everybody wants to get there. Now with the COVID year, we weren't really sure who was going to declare this year. But because it's so hard to make a WNBA roster. So, like, if you're in your real senior year, your fourth year, and you kind of know you'll be on WNBA roster, you have that idea, then you should probably go. But if you're not, like, use that extra year in college, because it's so hard, because you don't want to just go to WNBA and you get cut and you're like, what am I going to do? So I think it's exciting with all these players, Angel, Caitlin Clark, and Cameron Brink, and Aaliyah Edwards and Camila Cardoso making that decision going to draft. I believe they projected to go in the first round. So I believe it's exciting. And, it's everybody's dream to make the WNBA. I mean, it's the best league in the world, best 144 players in the world. And it's an honor, and you got to work to get there. So you got the opportunity, you got to take it.
You know what I think is interesting about what you sort of mentioned about that COVID year, and obviously the timing of NIL right now and all of these things. And, you know, you've had these narratives going around because we've seen the star power just erupt at the collegiate basketball level, which with NIL being a thing, we obviously seen some of these young ladies get rich at the same time simultaneously. And the narrative had kind of become, oh, these young women should want to stay in college basketball for as long as they can, because they're going to be able to make X amount of dollars. And we obviously know what the narrative is around the WNBA, where you're not getting paid a bunch and you're able to essentially make more money by way of NIL. But I actually like the fact that these young ladies are showing that, yeah, these NIL deals will come with us. It's clear as day, because I think these business decisions wouldn't get made the same if these young ladies knew. Paige knew she can come back to Iowa. Angel Reese knew she can go back to LSU. You know, so on. The list goes on and on. Cameron Brink could have came back to Stanford. But I do think it's really cool for the game itself that we are not sort of like strapping these young ladies to have to be hard-pressed to make that NIL cash, because that cash is transitioning with them, clearly, because I don't think they all make the decision that they made if they don't know that that money's not going to follow them as they enter into the WNBA. And so I'm glad to see that. And I've heard narratives, you know, I've heard, I think it was Colson who came out and was like, you know, it was men that was saying, I think your sister talked about it a little bit. Your sister talks about it a lot. In fact, I think during some of the press conferences coming into Athletes Unlimited this year, how a lot of her NIL deals followed her into the WNBA. So I'm glad that that narrative that these women have to stay in college basketball to get money. These deals and to make money is kind of being shot down, just purely based off the decision that we've seen this class make in deciding to enter the draft rather than stay back and make more money in college basketball.
Oh, for sure. So a reporter asked Haley on a Athletes Unlimited press conference before the league got started about, did you lose money? That's like the new narrative. Like, did you lose money going to WNBA? And he was like, I did not. Because with these girls now, when it comes to these, you know, girls with NIL in college basketball going to transition to the WNBA, a lot of these girls have agents, you know, in college. So they have good advice, and they make sure that these are brands that are going to be with them for the long run. So it's not like, all right, like Haley's really sure of like, all right, I don't want to take something, right? Just a little cash grab and then not a long thing, you know? So she wants something long-term that she knows she's going to keep when she goes into the WNBA. And a lot of these women that are going into WNBA, those NIL deals turn into endorsements when you go to the WNBA, right? So you get more opportunity, and then you add the base salary you get in the WNBA. Obviously, they want to get paid more, but that's just, you know, that's just going to continue to grow as, you know, the TV contracts.
Yep.
That the league has to with after the season it ends. So
revenue shares start to rear their ugly heads, and essentially. Then,
also, the players can opt out of their CBA after this season. So there's going to be a lot of moving stuff these next couple of years. So new media rights and opting out of CBA, hopefully getting the new CBA, is going to be really important. And then you also add the expansion draft, which is going to come after this season for 2025 for the team coming to San Francisco and the Bay Area. So there's going to be a lot of exciting things when it comes to just growing the game with the pay and
economics surrounding it.
Economics of the game. And a lot of these brands, they know women's sports is growing, and they want to be a part of it. They want to put their foot in the door and make sure that they're investing in this game and, you know, being a part of these players' journeys. And I think that's really exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I got one more question, Cam, because all of that sounds great, and I can't wait to see it, because I know that the star power has been there for a lot longer than people have been watching, and so I'm just happy that that's all kind of starting to come to fruition. But I guess my last question to you is, why was Devon's impression of me making me sound like Dexter's Lab or some shit? Like, what was that about?
Juju's the best. Juju.
Come on.
Hey, man, he's just giving you
all. Dexter's live, man. All right, no, man. Thanks, Cam. I really appreciate talking to you.
Yeah, Cam, appreciate you for joining us, man. That was a good conversation.
Man, appreciate y'all having me. I love listening to y'all every week, man. And it's going to be a great weekend of men's and women's Final Four and the NBA and the draft coming up. So it's a great time to be a fan of women's basketball, and you guys are been all in with it for a long time, so I love coming on.
Do you got anything you want to plug if you ever come on here? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, do you have anything to promote for yourself, Cam?
Not really. I mean, I'm just, you know, doing my thing, and, you know, I always want to, you know, make sure, you know, my sister gets her promotion with her podcast called Sometimes I Hoop. It's one of the best podcasts in the game.
Indeed.
Basketball. So make sure you guys listen on. She gets the top players in the country to hop on our podcast every week. You can check it out on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever you get your podcast on. And she's with the Players Tribune, so make sure you guys check it out. It's one of the best podcasts out there. So, you know, I'm a big fan of it, and, you know, everybody loves it. So, and you get to really hear the players inside of what it is to be a professional athlete or a college athlete in the women's game. So, yeah.
All right. Appreciate you.
Make sure you guys all watch.
Yes, sir.
That's
yes,
a great
sir.
Name, too, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, sometimes that's I hope that's fire. Name. That's fire. Appreciate you, Cam. We'll holler.
Appreciate y'all having me.
Yes, all right, sir.
Hey, and I'm going to tell you about his sister, Haley Jones. She is going to be, I say this obviously as a broadcaster myself, she is going to be a media star. I think she's already growing into one. She's been getting a lot of like broadcast opportunities. I think she had a match made situation, and I've told Cam this, you know, because I remember, you know, me and Cam talk. We talk at least at minimum weekly, sometimes multiple times a week. And me and Cam were talking a lot last year, and we talked to him on this podcast, you know, once the draft happened, and he got to tell us about, you know, this experience being able to see us get drafted. But leading up to the draft, it's like, you know, you wonder where she's going to go.
Right.
And where it is she's going.
A lot of anxiety. I remember we talked about this.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And it's like a high intensity room to be in.
Yeah, for sure. Because you just don't know until your name is picked. And you know, Engelbert announces your name on that stage. You really just don't know where this thing's going to shake out. But I think it was best case scenario for her to end up in Atlanta because, for one,
for branding
basketball
purposes.
Wise and branding purposes, I think it was great. But for two, she has a degree. She's got a degree in media from Stanford. Like, she went to school for this. She was doing her podcast while she was in college. Again, that's obviously carried over. She's with the Players Tribune. She's got her own agent, as Cam sort of talked about. And now you're in Atlanta, one of the top five media markets in the country. And, you know, she's been doing stuff with NBA TV. I think she's done a Turner hit, maybe. You know, she's doing Georgia Tech college basketball games. Like, she's calling. Like, she is going to be a media star. Of course, basketball is basketball. She's been a star in that. But I think, remember we said it right here on this podcast, you will be hearing her on some A-teams of some of the biggest you know, sports broadcasting companies that there are out there that'll be contracted with these professional leagues, because Haley Jones, she's very fluid. Like, she's an elite talent behind the microphone.
That's why that name is so raw, because it's really, and just watching the path and watching the setup.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, of course, top five media market. Sometimes I hoop. Like, I just so happen to be able to bust your ass on the court.
Yeah.
But I'm really going after this media shit in a way that
you can't even see it. And I'm
That's
seeing it
the
already.
Raw shit.
Because he and I talk so much, you know what I'm saying? And I follow her, of course, but like,
sometimes,
you know,
I hoop.
I follow her, you know, coincidentally, me and her older brother went to college together. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, nah, man, I'm telling y'all right now, Haley Jones, follow her and what she's doing on the court with the Atlanta Dream. She's about to go into her second season in the WNBA. She's like that, national championship winner. Like, she's done everything you could do already, and the story is still being written on the hardwood. But I'm telling y'all, when it comes to, like, future voices of forget women's basketball, just basketball in general, you will be seeing her face a whole lot more as time progresses, because she is phenomenal behind that microphone. Really, really good. So shout out to Haley Jones. Shout out to Cam Jones. Appreciate y'all. Let's pivot out of that. I want to talk a little bit about the Rip City Remix. First off, I just want to thank the Rip City Remix organization. Many of you know I'm the TV analyst for the Rip City Remix, and we just had our inaugural season as the Portland Trailblazers NBA G League affiliate. Our season ended over the weekend, and I'm just impressed. I'm impressed all the way around, because I'm first off impressed in how short of a time that this whole thing sort of got put together. And then just being able to see how the brand ultimately got built out over the course of this first season. And obviously, you know, me working in more of the operations department as a broadcaster, but everybody else that's been a part of, you know, that the marketing and operations side of things as well, to have grown this brand in the way that we did this season was absolutely impressive. And I had a pleasure. I had a ball being able to work alongside all of the talented people within the organization in our first season, where none of us even knew each other. And I think we came together and created a phenomenal product in just the first season of the Remix being in existence. obviously got to give credit to the players, head coach Jim Moran, GM Danny Connors, you know, Hannah Grout, our president. Like, you got to, you know, shout out everybody up top. But I think all in all, the brand of Remix Basketball and the short time that we had to just bring it all together. Obviously, my broadcast partner, Gareth Kwok, as well.
Shout out, G.
Shout out to G. It's the best broadcast job that I've ever had and that I've ever been a part of, just in terms of the experience. And I've had some great experiences as a broadcaster, whether it be live in-game broadcasting or talk radio. But this was just another level all the way around. For me and my own individual career, and I'm grateful that, you know, I was chosen to be along for the ride in a historic season, and that can never be taken away from any of us.
Well, man, for me, you know, as a fan, because, I mean, I got the very, you know, deep joy and experience of being able to go to, I mean, any game I wanted, I went to. Facts. Probably 85% of the games.
Facts.
I'm wearing the Remix inaugural day hat right now on my cranium. And I love that team already. And there's so much of it that when I think about it, because I don't want to try to make it too emotional, because the reality is that it's been set. The brand of Remix Basketball has been set. It's now, you know, we're beginning to stitch it together. We got the thread, we got the needles to stitch together what's going to be a long-term staple in Blazer basketball history, whoever that may be. So that part is taken care of. But the thing that really makes me feel great is, like, my homeboy that I, you know what I'm saying, like, came up, and I love the Blazers. Yeah. And, like, it's something that happened organically.
For sure.
With all these people that love the game, it goes to show the value of the G League and the value of these organizations. People's lives are getting changed every day, right down to your own sitting across from me.
For sure.
And now it's like something that next year I expect the numbers to go up. I expect the seats that I'm able to sit in to be a lot, you know, more valuable. And maybe I have to sit a little higher up, but I'm okay with that because I'm chilling, you know,
yeah, like, for sure.
It makes me feel good that there's that, because Portland is a basketball city.
Absolutely.
And I said this on the podcast for years, and I'm just very proud of you, man.
Appreciate
you
it.
You know, I'm really proud of you for just holding it down and being so ill. Hey, and having so much ism. Because
you've been around for the journey since the beginning.
Because I know that I've always felt that what is out there is not an accurate representation of what, you know, me as a Oregonian, as a Portlander, as whatever, and, like, the people around me. And you represent that so well, and just everybody, you know what I'm saying, is so happy to have you out here just ripping and running.
For sure.
And killing the game.
Nah, man, I've been here, I had some family. My mom and my aunt came into town a couple weeks back, and you know, they from California, and they don't come out here too often, because I tend to go to California a lot. It's a short enough flight where I usually get to be able to get back and see them a lot, so... But they came out here, they came and visited, and, you know, they were just, you know, I was able to get them tickets to go check out the Blazer game. They played against the Clippers that night, and so they just got to experience that, and they know it was nothing. The Trailblazers didn't matter to us coming up in California, you know what I'm saying? And so we were just talking about it, and I told them, like, yeah, I'm all the way 10 toes down Rip City now, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, it took for me to be able to get this job to get me over the hump, but I've been here for damn near 10 years, and I've been attached to the Blazers. And, you know, I've talked about it time and again, the connection with Damian Lillard and us being from the same area in California, and me always rooting for him just because, you know, I know where he comes from, and I can relate to where he comes from because I come from the same area. And so, you know, all of those things, but just straight up telling them, like, I'm a Rip citizen. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm locked in here. And obviously, you know, with the Remix, I'm excited for, you know, season one. It's the Remix. We called it volume one. And, you know, I'll go ahead and say it. I'm excited for volume two. You know, yeah. I'm planning on coming back. And the plans are for me to be back.
Man. We were very competitive.
We were very competitive. And again, that's why I got to give Danny Connors a lot of credit, because – I saw what he had to do to this roster.
He was moving from pieces the beginning. Around the board.
He had no choice because we had nothing lined up. You know what I mean? He basically had to put a team together from scratch, find out what the identity of this team is, and then move pieces around to be able to get a roster of guys that met that not only matched that identity, but
could also
very
be viable to the next level,
exactly.
Which is what they're affiliated with.
You want to bring the best talent.
It's such
in
a
as
weird
well.
Job to have.
Yeah, yeah, because yeah. It's like you want guys that fit what it is that you do, but you also still need to bring the absolute best talent that you can to your team because you are trying to. This is a pipeline here to, you know, the big boys
like,
and the big leagues.
It almost indirectly affects your job kind of in a quasi way to be like, if you get too good a talent that you could just go straight to the league, now the team that you're the manager of sucks.
Yeah.
So then it's not that way, but it's just funny on paper to look at and think about because it's like, it's just such a weird position.
I had conversations with him.
At all the two-way guys that ended up getting standards.
For sure. You look at the young rookie, you know, Chris Murray has been able to stick as of late. You know, Roops has been spending a lot more time with the Blazers than he did with the Remix this season. And it was a conversation that I've had with Danny where he's like, you know, obviously, you know, we've been beating the drums of this playoff race for the last few weeks, and we've been one of the teams that has been a part of this playoff race that has probably had, like, the least amount of access to our two-way guys being available to us because, you know, guys got caught up. I mean, literally from day one, our best player played one game with us. Do I breathe? He gets caught up after his first game with us, though.
Bye-bye.
Literally, you know what I'm saying?
37 points? Yeah,
he gets caught up, has a great year with the Blazers, and then what do you know? He ends up getting a standard contract, which then opens up one of those three two-way slots, and the guy who had been our best player just gets caught right up, gets a 10-day, and right after that, he gets that two-way slot that's now available in Ashton Hagans. And so for us to be as competitive as we were, and you consider that, and with that movement, you consider the fact of how much time our rookies have spent up with the Blazers as well, and you consider all of the injuries that the Blazers dealt with this season, and we were
adding,
one of the teams
adding pickups mid-season that ended up being integral parts to a system
for sure, like
the Demoy Hodges and the
Kevin Knoxes, you know what I'm saying, and guys like
Romeo
that.
Romeo Weems.
I mean, Weems has been there all along, but Jayzeon Gortman, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure,
like
sure,
so it was really impressive, I think, what he was able to do this first year, and I'm really excited to see, you know, how this franchise continues to go and grow, and we stay competitive even amongst all the movement all season long, and I think you can't ask for anything better in an inaugural season of any franchise. You know, just be competitive, and we were very well that in the playoff mix up until literally the final game of the season. I that's impressive, and so again, man, I'm grateful. You know, I'm glad that things went the way that they went this year. You know, I appreciate all the fans out there. You know, I get a lot of feedback from y'all at the games. You know, some of y'all reach out on social media. But really, you know, at the games, folks might see me in the hallways and, you know, taking your time out to come up to me and acknowledge me and the work that I do on TV. It's what keeps me going. It's what's kept me going that got me here in the first place. You know, these were the conversations, you know, that I used to have with, you know, parents and family members of student athletes that would watch, you know, their family members play at the Division III NCAA level. And then you go to Portland State and you get those compliments at that level. And then you even have, like, other coaches from other teams that have to scout, you know, the Portland States and the Pacific Universities that are coming up to me, you know, during pregame and letting me know, like, yo, you're our favorite team to scout because
we know
you're
the
our
broadcast
favorite broadcast.
Nice.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are the things. It's not a social media post. It's not, there's not a number attached to why it is that I do what it is that I do. Obviously, you know, you want the numbers to turn into whatever they ultimately turn into, but it's those interactions that hold far more value to me than any number of any platform you know what I'm saying? Like, it's
we're almost to episode 250 on this podcast. For so sure. We've been saying the same thing the whole time.
The whole time. You know what I mean?
This is just what we do.
It's not a number that attaches me to doing this work, even down to this podcast. You know what I'm saying? And again, that's not saying that I don't want to do numbers. Run them up, folks.
Run them up.
You know what I'm saying? It's definitely not what I'm saying. But the reason and the primary thing that keeps me going, obviously, is my love for what I do, but also, you know, the feedback that I get from you all, because I know that this is a product that you all care about, because if you didn't, you wouldn't take out the time to come tell me about it.
And we wouldn't be sitting here.
We wouldn't be sitting here. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I know and I understand that this is a product that you all love and that you all rock with. So I appreciate y'all, man. And I appreciate the remix and the Blazers for giving me this opportunity. And, yeah, I plan
next
to be back.
Next year's the best year, bro.
Next year's
Let's
the
go.
Best year. Let's get
Let's
it.
Go, man.
It's going to go up for yeah. sure. It's going to go up. So,
make
yeah,
the
I'm
playoffs
excited
next
about
year.
It. Yeah, I would love
make
to
make the
do
playoffs
that.
Next year.
I would love that.
Because they, you know, if you go, you look at the standings and how it ended up today, if you weren't like really following along, you wouldn't know just how close it's been way through.
And then even, you know, there are some playoff games that was played on Tuesday, and they were so competitive. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, they were very close games. The results of those games were, like, very, very competitive. So, man, it's all good, man. It's all great, and I appreciate everybody that has, you know, rocked with us this season. And, again, see y'all again next season. You got anything else?
Come to these shows this weekend, man. It's going to be tight.
Come rock out. It's going to be a vibe for sure. A lot of good music being played. And you know what? I want to give a shout out to the music scene here in the city of Portland, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, Portland gets a bad rap for so many different things. I mean, the list can go on and on about sometimes, you know, we get these negative stigmas and stereotypes, but I think the music scene is doing really, really well right now. You know, there's a lot of solid DJs out there. I think, you know, these venues are back, you know, to being more open to having music at their establishments, especially coming out of the entire, you know, pandemic situation. And I just think Portland has a really solid scene. Like, there's a lot to do each weekend. And I know that because I got my hands in a lot of different pots, and I'm not a guy that, you know, likes to be at the same place all the time. And I work and all of these different venues, and I move around a lot, and I have a lot to do. And I know I'm not the only one that has a lot to do. Right. So, you know, I want to give the city a shout-out, because I think the city's doing great on the music
So
front.
These are taking W's instead of taking L's? Is that what we're doing? Taking W's? Portland music scene takes a W this week? I'm fine with that.
Taking That's W's, fine. Baby. Taking W's. W's. There you go. Portland music scene. We taking a dub.
Hold
How about
w.
that? Hold this W. Take that. It. Take it while you can. Take it while you can. Well, on that note, we are going to leave y'all the only way that we know how, and that is to stay woke and go win.